message this morning, Our Weakness, God's Strength. Yes, kids, to Kids Church with Miss Debbie. I'm out of my routine here. Amen. I want to share, there's going to be in this message several quotes from the devotional Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And as a footnote, remember that when she writes, as she writes this devotional, she's writing from the perspective of Jesus speaking to us, not her, but of Jesus speaking to us. So she writes this. She says, "Come to me." Jesus is saying this to us. "Come to me when you are weak and weary." Now, I've shared with you that we found out how weak we were when I hit that flu a couple of weeks ago. And so this really was ministering to me as I was, really just, I had prepared the message already, but then it really ministered to me as I went through this little season recently of being weakened by the flu. So he writes, "Come to me when you are weak and weary. Weakness stirs up my compassion," Jesus says. "Weakness stirs up my compassion. Rather than struggling to disguise or deny our weakness, allow me," he says, "to bless you richly in it." God blessed us with that rest. Jenny mentioned it as well, being able to go to the beach just to unplug. If you haven't gotten away in a while, you need to do that. You need to unplug. You need to guard your sleep, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago. All of these things. So rather than struggling to disguise or deny your weakness, allow Jesus to bless us richly in our weakness. God wants to do that. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8. And I believe all the scriptures should be on the screen for you this morning. Next week, as we preach part 2 of this message, we'll share with you what's on the screen and what's not. But anyway, Romans chapter 8, let's go there, and we're going to begin at verse number 26. And it says this, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." That's some powerful, powerful stuff right there. And then he goes on in verse 28, and he says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." All things work together for good for those of us that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. We all have a calling on our lives. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And he says that the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us in our weakness, to intercede for us and through us, even when words may fail us. You don't know what to pray. You don't know what to ask God for. You don't know what the solution is to what you're going through, what's happening in your life or in the life of your family or a loved one. And he says the Holy Spirit will intercede through you, and he'll anoint you. He will help you, and he'll intercede according to the will of God. So important. That's one of the great things about being filled with the Holy Spirit, is that he will intercede for us, through us, in accordance with God's will for our lives. When we don't know what God's will is, he will help us by praying God's will through us. Sarah Young writes again. She says, "Grow strong in your weakness." Grow strong in your weakness. Your natural preference is to plan out your day, knowing what will happen when. How many planners do we have, you know? As many of you, I think, are like me and Kathy and some of us that make our to-do list every day, you know, and you check it off, every little thing you accomplish, you know. Some of us are weird like that. And so, anyway, we want to know what's going to happen and when, and so we plan it all out. But he says, "My preference is for you to depend on me continually, trusting me to guide you and strengthen you as needed. This is how you grow strong in your weakness." It's a dependence on the Lord. It's a surrender to his will for our lives. And so that's how this happens. Let's go backwards in Scripture to the book of Isaiah. And I love this portion of Scripture. I think I even quoted it a little bit earlier. But I love this. We're going to pick up at verse number 28. Next week, we're going to go a little bit deeper in this chapter. But for this morning, I just want to begin with verse number 28 of Isaiah chapter 40. And he asks the question, do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God? He's the creator of the ends of the earth. Sometimes we forget the God that we serve, how big he is, how great he is, how powerful he is. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is an awesome God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. And he will not grow tired or weary. Aren't you glad about that? He will never grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. And then I love this. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths, even young people will grow tired and weary. Young men may stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord, those that wait upon the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I had an interesting encounter this week at the school. I came in one morning, and as I walked down the hallway going towards my office, there was a young man sitting on the floor in our copy room. And I'm like, well, that's different. You know, that's different. I haven't had that happen in 12 years that the school has been here. He's just sitting in the floor. And so I just stopped, and I said, hey, I said, how's it going? You know, just, hey, how's it going? And he said, he looked at me. His name is Joey. And he looked like he was about maybe 15. And he said, actually, he said, I'm having trouble focusing my. And he said, I feel a little bit shaky, and I'm waiting for my parents to come and pick me up. Come to find out, he's actually adopted by his grandparents, and his grandparents are raising him. And he said, I'm waiting for them to come and pick me up because that's how I'm feeling. And so I said, well, I said, what's your, that's when I asked him what his name was. He said, my name's Joey. I said, well, I'm Basil. And I said, would you mind if I prayed with you? And he said, no. I said, you sure you're okay with it? He said, yeah. And so I just knelt down right there beside him as he's sitting on the floor, and I just prayed a prayer over him. And it's like the Holy Spirit just began to read his mail, and as I prayed, and he just, when I finished the prayer, and I just looked at him, and I said, look, I'm going to be praying for you. I said, you take care of yourself, and I'm going to check on him Tuesday when we come back to the office. But it was so cool that even youths, they can grow weary. This teenager, feeling shaky, couldn't focus, you know, having trouble focusing, and just a simple prayer ministered to him that morning. And so if we put our hope in the Lord, if we look to him and to his strength, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And so we're gonna see this happen, I think, more and more. Be open to those kind of opportunities. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God is going to use you. Amen? These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. If you touch or take any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt you. This is what God wants us to begin to operate in these last days, to see the miraculous, to see the supernatural begin to take place. Sarah Young continues with this. Most people scurry around busily trying to accomplish things through their own strength and their own ability. I think we're all guilty of that at times, that we just, man, we're just, we've got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. We think of the story of Mary and Martha, where Martha is kind of scolded by Jesus. Oh, Martha, you're worried about a lot of stuff. You know, you're trying to get everything perfect here, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he says, Mary, she's chosen the most important thing. She's sitting here just listening to the teaching here, you know? She's chosen the best. And so we need to maybe slow down a little bit. Stop maybe being so busy. Corrie Ten Boom said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. The barrenness of a busy life. We can become so busy that we become barren. The Bible says that God gave them what they asked for, the children of Israel, but he sent leanness to their souls. They were asking for stuff that was not good for their soul, but it was good for their wants, you know? But God says, I'm going to give you all of your needs. Then this, she continues, keep your plans tentative. Those of us that are planners, keep your plans tentative, knowing that my plans, the plans of the Lord for us, are far superior to what we want. He says, my ways are far above your ways, my thoughts far above your thoughts. And so we need to remember that. Let's keep things tentative. Let's hold things loosely in our hands, and let's trust God to guide us. All right, let's go way back into the New Testament, and we're going to go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2. Let's go there. The Word of God is just so powerful. I love it. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at verse number 6. We're talking about our weakness as opposed to God's strength this morning. And he says this, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. That's the key. It's not just making a statement that, yeah, I'm going to be a Christ follower, walking an aisle, giving your heart to the Lord one day, but it's you got to continue. Continue to live in him, Paul says, rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Next month, Thanksgiving is right upon us. Can you believe it? We need to overflow with thankfulness and gratitude to the Lord. We sang a little bit about that this morning. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So many times, I think, especially in churches in America, we've become more dependent upon human tradition. We've become more dependent on the principles of this world and of this life and maybe even of church world. But where is Christ in the midst of it? Is he still in the house? You know, are we still, are we even on the same page, you know, with the Lord? We need to follow the principles of Christ rather than the principles of this world or even church world. For in Christ, verse 9 says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, the Godhead, lives in bodily form. And you and I have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and over every authority. At the name of Jesus, one day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, all to the glory of God the Father. I love that verse. In Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form. And we've been given that fullness in Christ because he's the head over everything and everyone. Praise God. Praise God. Deuteronomy 33:27 tells us this, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Praise God. Underneath are the everlasting arms. God is our refuge in my strength in times of trouble. Sarah Young adds this again, so relax, Jesus speaking to us, remember, relax in my everlasting arms. We need to learn to relax. We need to learn to unplug, to de-stress. There's so many voices out there that we're listening to that we don't need to listen to. You don't need to be listening to the news 24/7 That will depress you. That will put fear in you. That will put worry in you. That will put all kinds of stuff in you. Now, we must have a balance where we're understanding what's going on in the world, but don't be consumed by what you hear through the media. Don't be consumed by that, you know? We're told by the media what they want us to know. It may be the truth, it may not be the truth. But there's a script. You can skip through the channels at news time, and they're all saying the same thing. They're parroting the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? So let's be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Amen? That's what the word says, a great balance. And then a balance of labor and leisure. And so relax, learn to relax in the everlasting arms of our Father. Go gently, she writes, through this day, leaning on me, leaning on Jesus, enjoying my presence. Thank me for your neediness, which is building trust bonds between us. Isn't that something? That in our neediness, as we take those needs to the Lord, it builds trust between us and the Lord. Bonds of trust are built as we bring our needs before the throne of grace. He says, come boldly before that throne. Amen? And then, if you look back on your journey thus far, you can see that days of extreme weakness in our lives have been some of our most precious times. Having the flu, it was amazing. It was a blessing, again, just to be able to unplug, just to be able to realize how tired we were. Thankfully, Kathy didn't catch the flu from me, but she sensed her tiredness as well. When we stopped, when we slowed down, we realized how exhausted physically that we were. And even emotionally, the drain of the school has been difficult in the last year and a half since this group has kind of, you know, purchased and kind of become the majority owner. It's just a different atmosphere. It's a different spirit. And Brenda, of course, her and her family are solid Christian people. And so we just have been really praying hard for the Lord to work that situation out legally to get us back to a place where there's peace. You know what I'm saying? Where there's just peace. God is not the author of confusion. And there just has been a kind of a spirit of confusion between the entities in the school, not between us and the Crenshaw family, but just, you know, this new group that I, you know, we did not sign anything with them. It was done before we knew what was going on. And so again, just created a very tense and stressful situation. And the Lord, I believe, is going to work it out, but we're just, you know, trusting him for that. I don't want to get into that too much. That's not the thrust of the message here. But I do want to make you aware of things that are going on and what we're concerned about. And so those times when we're at our weakest and at our lowest, those can be precious times where God draws us closer to himself. And I think Kathy and I experienced that this past week. We always, in the mornings, we'll eat breakfast together at the table. She does. She reads her devotionals. I read mine. And we'll interact with each other, you know, in regards to the words that we're reading, what we're getting from the Lord and whatever. And so we do that before we ever leave the house every day. And so that's just been our habit of what we do. And it just really blessed us to just kind of see what the Lord was doing with us in the last couple of weeks as I got through that flu. And we just began to, you know, be able to unplug and unwind. It was just exactly what we needed. So it was a precious time. That's exactly what she writes here. Let's go further into Scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to hang with me this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Our weakness, but God's strength. Let's look at verse number 1. Paul says to them in the church in Corinth, they were a difficult church. They weren't like you guys. The Corinthians were. They were a tough bunch, man. They told Paul how pitiful of a preacher he was. They said he's weak. He's just a loud mouth, you know, in these letters. But boy, when you see him face to face. He's just a weak, he's a wimp. Just all kind of stuff that they would say about him. And we know that he wrote three letters. We only have two, but he wrote three letters to the church in Corinth. But this one is pretty cool. He says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." Now, let me tell you, Paul could have come with eloquence. He could have come with superior wisdom because he was one of the most educated men of his day, taught at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the leading rabbis in Jerusalem. And so he was well-educated, extremely well-educated. But he says in verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was Paul's message. "I came to you," look at this, Paul is saying, "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling." Can you imagine that in Paul's personality and character? I mean, he's such this bold guy, this anointed guy. He wrote so many books of the New Testament, so eloquent, so powerful in word and deed. But he says, "When I came," he said, "I came in weakness." It was a time, a season when I wasn't at my best. And there was even fear in my heart and even some trembling, a trepidation. I just wasn't sure, you know, at the time when I visited you. Then verse 4, "So my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." That's amazing. It could have been, but it wasn't, he says. "But," he said, "I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." Why? "So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." And guys, this is what we need in the church in America today and really around the world. We need God to once again endue us, the church, the body of Christ, every individual that knows Christ as Savior, with a demonstration of the Spirit's power that follows us in our life to people around us, so that people's faith might not rest on our wisdom, our natural men's wisdom, but on the power of God. We need the power of God back in our churches. That's what we need. Amen? We need a visitation of the Holy Spirit. In a few minutes, as we close the message, Alan's going to cue up a video clip that really ministered to me and Kathy as we were going through this last couple of weeks. It's going to be very, very simple, but it just so powerfully touched us, and we had a visitation of the Holy Spirit around our breakfast table that morning as we just simply listened to what we're going to let you hear this morning. It's not men's wisdom. It's not going to be some great choir or some great huge worship team with all the lights and sounds and bells and whistles that we see in so many churches, and that's fine. You know, I'm open to new things. I'm, you know, whatever. But I don't want it resting on man's stuff. I want it resting on God's power and the Holy Spirit in the simplicity, in the way that he can come and move in our hearts and touch our hearts is an amazing thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I know we're bouncing around, but this really has blessed me, and I wanted to bless you this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want us to pick up at verse number 21, and we pick up with this phrase. It's in the middle of the verse, and I begin with this phrase. Paul is writing, and he says, "What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews?" Paul says, "So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one." 39 was the limit. They had to stop there. 5 times. Then verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my own countrymen, from the Gentiles, in the city, in the country, at sea, from false brothers. Verse 27, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. Paul could have used what we just talked about. He needed more sleep. He said, I have known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, all of that, besides all that, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And who is weak? And I do not feel weak, Paul says. Who is led into sin? And I don't inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. That's something. Just the opposite of what we would think. You would think you want to show and display your strengths. The wisdom of Paul's mind, the eloquence of his preaching and his words, all of that, that would have impressed people. But he said, I came to you in weakness. I came to you in fear. I came with much trembling. And I would rather, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about the things that show you my weaknesses, not my strengths. Just the opposite of what we would say today, you know? Because out of weakness, we're going to find comes the strength of the Lord in our lives. Billy Graham adds this. He says, when we attempt to do God's work in our own strength instead of God's strength, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. If I ever had a spiritual hero, it was Billy Graham. The man was just, you know, impeccable in his morals. There was never any taint on his character in any way, not financially, not morally, not in any way. His message was so simple. It was always on salvation, salvation. He's an evangelist. He's an evangelist. And God used him in such a powerful way. When Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I'm going to the Father. Think about someone like a Billy Graham who had all those crusades for all those years all around the world, ministering to presidents and prime ministers and world leaders, and the influence that he had. And he says, when we attempt to do God's work in our own strength instead of God's, we'll fail. We'll fail. He and his team, his core team, developed the Modesto Manifesto that set up boundaries for their moral lives and for their ministry. It was a powerful thing, and they adhered to it all those years. Then he writes, he continues, only when we acknowledge our weakness, Billy Graham writes, and look to the Holy Spirit for the wisdom and strength that we need, will God bless our efforts. When we're looking to him, the author, the finisher, the perfecter, the completer of our faith, that's when we're empowered, endued with power from on high and strength. So he concludes with this, so confess your weakness to him and trust him to work through you today and always in your life. And this morning we close the message with this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want us to pick up at verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. So Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, the ones he talked about at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 12, he said, because to keep me, God did this to keep me from becoming conceited because of those great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. I love that statement. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And over all that, my grace is going to be sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. We don't have grace for tomorrow yet. All we have grace for is right now. But tomorrow, grace is waiting for us. It's part of God's provision. Part of that definition is that provision is stuff that God has stored up in our future. It's waiting for us to get there. We're not there yet, but it's waiting for us to get there. Whatever your needs are in the future, my needs, whatever the Lord knows, you know, he knows what's going to happen. Well, all the answers, all the needs, whatever, it's waiting for us to get there. So we don't have the grace to handle it today. So we need to live in the present. Don't be enslaved to a painful past. Forget those things that are behind, Paul says. Don't be consumed by a fearful future because you can't deal with the future yet. You're not living there yet. But when we get there, God's grace will be sufficient. Amen? It'll be sufficient. So my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Again, not happy, not glad about his strengths, but he says, all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. I love this. So that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then is when I'm really strong. It's in my weakness that the strength of God is revealed in my life. So I want us to maybe kind of munch on that this week. Just kind of look through that and let the Holy Spirit speak to you this week about this. How does that apply to you? What you're going through right now? What needs in your life that you're struggling with? Things that you're believing God for? Things that you're trusting God for? Stuff that you may not understand and you certainly may not like it, but you're believing that God is going to do what we said earlier, that all things are going to work together for our good and ultimately for his glory, that the name of Jesus will be exalted through our lives. Amen? Don't let the enemy mess with your mind that it's never going to change, that this is not going to work out. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And the word says that lying is his native tongue. It's his native language of the devil, is lying. So don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the voice of the Lord. That still, small voice, that gentle whisper, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but a still, small voice that we hear behind us that says, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen? Amen.